What's up, you guys?
Hey, what's up?
It's Monday.
Yep.
And you know what that means.
It means I've sobered up.
Good one, Tom.
I told you, man. You gotta have comedic timing on this motherfucker. I just come out with that shit. I wasn't prepared for that. I just did that shit. Hold on.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's like, we watched this episode last night. We've seen this episode, like, a bunch of times. This is a really good one. And you were watching it, like, initially. Like, yeah. I think that, you know, because we were making jokes about it and stuff. But then, like, toward the end of it, he was, like, laying there like that. I couldn't really, like, see his face. But I thought he was awake, and I thought he was watching
it. I dozed off, I think.
But then, like, at the end of, like, after it was over, like, I asked him a question, like, oh, did you reset my clock or something like that? Because it was daylight savings time.
Yeah.
And he didn't answer. Yeah, I figured it out. But he didn't answer. And then I was, like, looking, and I was like, that motherfucker fell asleep. He just fell asleep, like, sitting up like that. And I was like, okay.
Well, you see on the tombstone, at the end of the tombstone review, I'm fucking faded as shit, man. Fucking
everybody said that, too.
I'm trying to fucking molest Jenny live on camera.
I know.
Shit.
She's like, he's like crawling all over me, and I'm just like sitting there going,
I couldn't. And then we just go in the other room to do the review and shit, and I fucking cozed it up and talked some shit and laughed at it, and I guess I fucking dozed off. But I've seen this shit a million times.
And then the weird thing about it, too, was that then you fell asleep, and then I was like, okay, it's over. I guess he fell asleep. And then I got up, like, for like 5 minutes. I went to the bathroom, and then I went and got, like, a drink of water. And then I came back in the room, and he wasn't there. Yeah. And I thought, like, he was in the shower or taking out the garbage or something like that. Nah. So I just, like, sat down and watched some videos. And then I started watching, like, a zombie movie that we'll be talking about later. And it's like,
I don't know how I got it.
And then I looked in the man cave, and he was like,
I don't know how I got in there. I don't even remember getting up. I don't know how I got in there.
You drank a lot.
I woke up, and it was the next morning.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, and you fell asleep. It was early. Yeah. I mean, you fell asleep at like 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah,
I think it was like 8:30. Or was it like not even 9 o'clock?
Yeah, fucking. Amy was like, "I'm gonna watch you go. I'm gonna watch you go." Okay, he says, "No, I'm right. I fucking popped."
That's
a
what they always say.
Yeah, I popped a wheelie on the way out of there.
Why are you doing shit like that?
I felt good, man. Tom. I fucking popped a wheelie and fucking. Good thing the cops weren't there.
Yeah, good thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you don't call me from jail.
No, I'm going to call you.
I'd have been like,
yeah, I just do my
sounds
time.
Like a you problem,
I'll
bye.
I'll just do my time. I'll be out of there in a couple of days.
Okay.
You'll know. I'll call in. I'm locked up.
I'll be like, why am I not surprised? Yeah. This is my not surprised face.
Yeah. They'll give me a court date. I'll be out of here in about 12 hours.
He's just so casual about it.
Would be the first time.
True. Danny Rowling said, "The only problem I have with this episode is how did the drug dealer's ghost end up haunting the home? Spoiler alert, as well without actually dying there." Well, see, that's the thing. They were very, very vague about this, like, murder, supposedly, that happened. So, you know. And we'll get into that. Danny Rowling also said, "The husband in this episode sounded like Sylvester Cat and Daffy Duck from Looney Tunes when he talked," just saying, he did a tad.
Yeah.
I think he was in another episode, at least one other episode. He looked kind of familiar. I don't know if he just looked familiar because I've seen this one a bunch of times, or if I thought I remembered seeing him from another one.
They all start to blend.
They do.
The classics. You have to remind me.
Because we've seen them.
I sat down and I went, "Wait, which one was this again?"
And I was like, "Dude, we just watched it last night."
And I know. And I was like, "Yeah, they're all kind of." And she goes, "The drug dealer in the bathtub." Like,
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, we just watched it last night. And I watched it again today, like, to make notes about it.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably wouldn't need to necessarily, but it's like, I like to kind of just have something to refer to.
It's a pretty good episode.
It is a good episode.
It's a pretty good episode, yeah.
I mean, there's like, you know, there's fucking ghosts in it, like apparitions. Like, people actually saw apparitions.
Yeah.
So you don't.
I don't know how legit it is.
I couldn't find like hardly any outside info on this. So you know.
Now, before we get into this, I got a timer running because I'm cooking carnitas downstairs. So that timer's going to probably go off in about 50 minutes, 45 minutes. I'm going to go down there and release the pressure on the pressure cooker, on the Instant Pot.
Release the pressure.
Got to release the pressure. Under pressure.
Well, okay. That's I was singing a different song. But
So I'm going to release the pressure. Then I'll be back up. So if you hear that alarm going off, tell me. Okay. And I'll go down and get it.
So that's what it is.
I'm telling them to tell me when that alarm goes off.
Yeah, like you're not going to hear
it. Yeah, like I'm not going to hear it.
You probably
That's
won.
Some artistic shit there, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the word that I would have used.
It's fucking very, very interactive.
It's interactive. That was probably the word you wanted.
Yeah.
Yes. Mango says, I finally saw Barbarian today at the cinema. Fun movie. Now I can watch your review. Yeah, I mean, I didn't spoil anything, but like I said, it's better. It's one of those movies where it's better to go into where you don't know anything about it, because I didn't know anything about it, like, going in to see it, and it was, like, way better like that. But I didn't spoil anything in the review, but, you know. Let's see. He also said, I did work out where it was going after the end of the first act, though. That aside, I still really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really, really liked Barbarian. I know that some people really, really didn't like it, but that seems like the minority opinion, though, because there's always going to be some people who are like, that's the dumbest thing ever. But it seemed like most people really liked it. I really liked it. I thought it was pretty fucking great. But yeah. So, I don't know. Do you want to get started talking about the episode? Or, yeah, because you got carnitas in the crock pot.
Yeah.
Carnitas in the crock pot. I don't know. That sounds like the title of something.
No, carnitas are down.
I don't know what.
You just got to release the pressure. Yeah. Turn it on, release the pressure, it'll be all right. Then I'll go down there, I'll brown them later. Yeah.
What you going to do with it?
Brown them in a.
No, I mean, what's like the end goal of the. Like, are we going to make like tacos?
Make whatever you want. Make tacos, like, make burritos, whatever you want.
How come you got like two tablets in here? What's that about?
Because that one's got. I got two tablets here. Because
one's got the timer.
I'm a very complicated man. I'm a very complicated man.
Is that?
That's got
it
the timer on it. I could put the timer on this one, but it wouldn't be as cool. See.
Oh, okay. So you need to have like two tablets going.
Yeah. I got two tablets going. I got two tablets. That's the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like having two watches. You're really the shit. Two different time zones.
Well, I must be
remember
like
back in the day.
I must be like even more of the shit because I have like three computers like right in here. I've got a laptop there, I got a laptop there, and I got a desktop there. Like they're all for different things.
It's like headquarters of NASA.
It is. It's again very, very complicated.
Man, when I was a kid, I would have thought this was some shit out of sci-fi movie. Out of a sci-fi movie.
It is. It would have been like in a sci-fi movie. It's like better than a sci-fi.
Like I'm in the future. Yeah, yeah. They didn't even predict any of that shit. When fucking back in the 90s.
No, that's what I mean. No?
Early 90s. No, I wouldn't. Even late 80s. No, I was fucking. You were tripping. Touch screen, video on a thing that was flat that you could carry around, didn't weigh anything. Yeah. And you could wireless. You could take it anywhere. No, you're tripping. Watch porn wherever you want. Fuck no. No, that's a fantasy. You had to go down to the damn fucking porn theater and fucking jerk it with fucking a whole bunch of strangers in there, sticky ass floors and shit. That's how they did it back in the day.
Grody.
They were hardcore.
Or they just didn't really have a choice.
They had no choice, man.
You know what I mean?
You know the motherfuckers were peeking at each other.
Probably.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Fucking.
I mean, I would.
Pervs.
But. That might have been part of the whole, like,
take your
experience.
Girlfriend with you. Have her give you hair.
Then people really be peeking at you because they're like, ooh, an actual woman in here.
Yeah, she's helping out the dude next to her.
Churning butter two hands.
Yeah, and you're like, going, what are you doing over there? Yeah.
Why does this always end up... All of our shows,
I don't know, man.
No matter what the topic is, we always end up either talking about porn or food.
I don't fucking know, man.
It's you. It's your fault.
I don't fucking know. I'm a bad influence.
Ben says, love those owl glasses. Thank you very much.
I picked them
out,
man.
These are new Tom Bobby.
They're cute. They're like cat glasses. A little cat woman.
Yeah.
Like Catwoman's goggles.
I wasn't sure if I would like them or not, but I do actually like them.
I'm getting fucking private messages. Fucking Patrick says, me and my girlfriend like them on her. They look really youthful on her. Yeah. I thought they were cute.
They make my big old head look smaller.
It softens your features. It softens your features. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cute. Kind of retro. That those would look good with your goth outfits. The big round ones, man, would look really cool with out in the club. Those would look cute. Would you have the right makeup motif?
Yeah.
Try those on for size show. Well,
We did this yesterday.
I haven't seen him with that wig. You didn't have a wig.
Last time. No, yesterday I didn't. Yeah, see, I can't see because they're,
that's
these,
cute.
These
man.
Aren't reading glasses.
I think that's cute. You guys can put it in the comment section. I think that's a fucking cute glass. I think it.
Like I said, I feel like I'm transported back to the 1970s.
I might be like a fucking total asshole or anything, but I got real good taste. I can dress women. I can pick all kinds of. Cool
you might
shit
be a total asshole.
Oh, a total asshole.
You might be.
But I fucking yeah. But I could be a fashion consultant for any woman. I go, yeah, no, this looks good. Put this. I'd have made a fucking great fucking drag queen or something, man. I'd fucking dress myself. But
hey, it's not too late.
I could dress my. No, fuck me. If dudes had women's clothing, that's all they had to choose from, I'd be a fucking fantastic dresser. It's easy to shop for women. They got so many selections. It's a dudes, and these guys will tell you, they just don't give you any fucking selection.
No, they don't.
There's no fucking
dudes'
selection.
Dudes' clothes are, like, really
fucking
boring.
Fucking suck, man.
Like I said, I think that's probably why I got into, like, goth and punk and stuff like that, because at least those dudes, like, wore interesting shit.
Yeah. It's all the fucking same generic bullshit, and if you don't have a fucking decent build, you're going to look like shit in it. Which is kind of the same for some women, too. Like, when you're trying to buy fucking lingerie for a woman, you know, they're showing you this fucking thing in a lingerie model, she's a fucking 10, okay? If your girlfriend's a 7 or an 8, she's not going to look the same in that.
Yeah. Well, you know. What
you're
you
not mean? Buying the you're not buying the underwear, you're buying that girl's ass in a photo.
That's, yeah, that's what I mean.
That's
and you,
really what
And
it
you
is.
Just keep hoping.
You're hoping that, it, no.
that it's like this, you know, $6 pair of underwear will make my girlfriend's ass look like this model's ass. That's not how that works.
Once I got jacked, everything started fitting me a lot better, and I realized that fucking now I could buy a fucking $6 pair of shirt and look pretty good in it. Not back in the day when it was all fucking belly meat.
Belly meat.
Belly
that,
meat.
That also sounds like a title for
something.
Yeah,
belly meat, yeah. We got to get to this fucking case, man. I can't teach these people how to dress on this.
Well, no one asked you to.
I know. It just happens, man. I get fucking pushed down, and I get pushed, and it's a bad habit. Bad habit.
Hugo says, by the way, Jenny, I watched Clown after you mentioned it. It was fresh and original. Yeah, wasn't that good? I was, like, really surprised by how good that movie was.
The
like I said,
stuck to him.
I'm always, like, a fan of movies that where, like, clown monsters eat children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a good one.
It was a good one. Yeah, it was, like, really, really gross, and, like, I really enjoyed it.
There was something kind of strangely believable about it. You could put yourself in that dude's situation. Yeah, if you put that thing on, you couldn't get it off, and it was taken over. It was like something out of Venom and shit. Oh, man. Wasn't he trying to cut it off? I think he tried to cut it off and everything. There was just no way. No way to get it off.
Well, I remember the one part that made me, like, really uncomfortable was, like, at first when he was trying to, like, take off the nose. Yeah. And, like, wasn't his wife trying to do it because she was, like, a dental hygienist or something? Yeah. Like, it's been a couple years since I've seen it, but I remember she had, like, the tools, like, the dental tools.
Yeah, I got
it. And she was trying to, like, pry the nose off, and, like, the whole time I was like, oh!
Yeah. I gotta see it again.
I think it might be on Tubi.
Okay.
I mean, I just saw it, like, that's why I thought of it, because I saw it, like, on a streaming service the other day.
Yeah.
Somebody said that you should grow a beard like the drug dealer in this episode. I can't, what does his beard look like? It was, that was, like, a pretty scraggly looking beard. And it wasn't a mustache either, was it? Well, it was just, like, I thought it was just a beard.
No, I'm gonna stay with the Ming the Merciless fucking beard.
The kitty milk.
Yeah, he's trying to get me to tell that story again. Little kitty milk. That's what Big John told me.
Ben says one of my friends did his Halloween movie challenge, one horror movie every day in October, themed on clowns. So he watched a clown horror movie every day for a month. Holy crap! And I bet that it'd be pretty easy to find that many because there's so many fucking clown horror movies. I remember we saw one the other day. Remember that was like, well, it wasn't the other day. It was probably like a year or two ago. But it was about like a clown themed hotel. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
No.
Like, I really liked... The only thing, I was like, I wonder if that's, like, a real clown hotel, because that's actually pretty cool. Because I was like, I can't see that this movie had enough budget to, like, actually build that. So maybe that's a real place, which I don't know why the fuck anyone would ever stay there, but it's, like, kind of neat anyway. But other than that, like, it was kind of a terrible movie. I don't even remember what happened in it. It was probably just, like, a slasher. Danny said it was, like, a triangle-looking beard.
I don't want any kind of long hair, facial hair. I don't like anything long. I like shit short and fucking real trim. I don't like anything long.
Yeah. Mm. Slasher Fred said, one of these days you should do a discussion or review of your favorite Scooby-Doo Where Are You episodes. You know, that might not be a bad idea. I used to really like that show when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's so long ago.
Yeah, but they have them all on, like I said, they're on, I think they're on Tubi, they're on, I saw them on Plex, maybe, or Roku or something.
I didn't like those when I was a kid. I thought they were talking down to me. I liked Johnny Quest a lot better.
Well, Johnny Quest was good, too.
Johnny Quest was
Maybe we should do, like, a favorite, like, creepy cartoons, like, scare. Because I kind of did a little bit thing like that on my Scare Salon channel, and I'm going to do more of those. Like, because I like the, like, those creepy cartoon type things. But, yeah. Amanda says, hey, Tom and Jenny, another classic clown film is Killer Clowns from Outer Space. We might have reviewed that. We reviewed that, right? Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
I know we saw it.
I'm pretty sure that we reviewed that.
It's a pretty good movie.
It's a lot of fun. My favorite part about that is the set design. I mean, they clearly spent a lot of time and effort. And I liked all the detail about it. You know what I mean? Like all the stuff with the cotton candy cocoons and all that kind of stuff. Like it was really, really creative. I liked that. Ben says, use the Birdemic shock and terror method and just shoot your movie around real buildings with bystanders as extras. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Birdemic was a masterpiece of fucking garbage. It was unintentionally fucking hilarious.
I mean.
Yeah.
That was, like, that guy that makes those movies. Because he's made more than one. He hasn't just made Birdemic. He made one called Replicas.
Yeah.
He made one called... He made, like, a romance movie that was, like, kind of supernatural. What the fuck was the name of that? The Julian something? Or I don't remember.
Yeah.
I saw it on our Riff Tracks. But it's, like, that dude... It's, like... And it's sad because he seems like such a nice man. But
no idea.
But he really... Yeah. Yeah, he... It almost seems like he's... Like I said, he's, like, an alien in a human suit.
Yeah. He doesn't know what's
It's like, no, it's not Neil Breen. Although his movies are funny too.
Yeah,
James Nyhan. Yeah. That's that guy's name.
Yeah, Neil Breen has basically cast himself as God or Superman in every one of his fucking movies. The object of every fucking white girl half his age's desire.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a trip.
Which
he's a trip, and it doesn't fucking work. No. All right. the other guy, the Nugent guy. He's very confused on the mating rituals of white teenagers. He's not really sure how that's done. It's basically about sitting on people's laps, crossways and straddling people. There's a lot of that in it. And that you can just see a girl on the street and follow her home and knock on her door and say, look, I saw you.
And hey, let's go out. Yeah, that's not
yeah.
ever how that's going to work
no.
out.
No. Get the fuck off my doorstep. That's what would happen. Fucking cops would show up.
They get maced.
Which I don't think he really had a dating experience coming up. Not in the Western world.
Anthony said, do you think you'll be reviewing Cool as Ice, the Vanilla Ice movie?
Oh, that's a piece of shit.
Wow, yeah. I watched it on Riff Tracks.
I've seen it, yeah. Oh, man.
Man, that is one of the cringiest movies I've ever seen. I was just, like, embarrassed for everyone involved. I mean, Riff Tracks made it funny, but because it was just so... I mean, it was... It was such an easy target, really. Yeah. But, yeah, that's easily one of the most...
Inventing cool out of nothing.
Embarrassing things that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons. Like, shit like that is one of the reasons that I just couldn't hang with the 90s. I just
totally
couldn't.
Artificial. No street cred. Zero.
I just couldn't.
Zero. Just totally artificial.
Yeah.
It's what you do when you try to make a rapper using the same method as they as the creation of the band Menudo.
Yeah.
Basically what they did. Just that. Just instant rap stars. Although I think a lot of the other ones are that too, though. They just get a dude that fucking looks tougher.
I think can at least, like, do... I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, that was just, like, super cringeworthy. It was cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Like, even watching it on Riff Tracks, I was, like, the whole time I was, like, you know that, like, contact embarrassment that you get? Like, I had that, like, the whole time.
I believe most of the modern rap industry is fake as fuck. You know, corporate as shit. You make them up out of nothing. They're kind of disposable. Like, they're gone. You know, they don't last long, a lot of them.
Ben says, Neil Breen's cinematography is amazing. It's almost all shot outdoors because they can't get permission to use the inside of buildings. Presumably because they don't have any insurance or permits. Yeah, that's probably exactly why. All right. So, since we're all here, kind of, to talk about A Haunting, The Apartment, which is one that Danny recommended. And, like, actually, this was one that was on my list anyway, because this is a good episode and I want to talk about this. This is season 4, episode 4. So, as I said, don't get, like, too excited because I didn't find, like, too much outside information on this. Like, some of the cases, you know, like, the person wrote a book or, you know, it was featured on other shows or anything like that. Far as I could determine, this is pretty much a one and done. Like, I didn't really see this story told elsewhere. So I don't know. I don't know how legit it was. At least, like, the people on there, like, use their real names and shit like that. So we're following a pair of newlyweds, and their names are Bill and Marissa Spencer. Although Marissa, her nickname is Icy, and that's pretty much what she's known as, like, through the whole entire thing. So this takes place in Seattle and starts out, like, in around October of 2004. So they said at this point, they had been married for like a month or two or something like that. Both of them are still college students. And they said prior to this, they had both lived in the university district. I don't know if it was student housing or if they just lived in that area or whatever. But they were kind of looking for something like in a more quieter, more family-oriented neighborhood, because they said, you know, they weren't really going out like partying like a lot of the other students were, and it was kind of noisy and blah, blah, blah. So they were looking for something in a quieter area. So apparently, like, Icy is working toward a master's degree in mental health, and Bill is studying for his bachelor's, and also, like, works nights as a contractor. They said for a courier company, so I don't know, UPS, or I don't know what it is. So they find an apartment in the newspaper that seems like the ideal situation. When they get there, there's kind of like, they just said there was like a pile of debris out front, you know. But they're like, oh, well, the location is like completely perfect. It's very park-like. It's very safe. It's kind of like, they said it was like just like a real, like a, right outside of Seattle, like a really nice quaint neighborhood, like a lot of the kind of like little arty walking neighborhoods kind of thing. So the property manager comes out and says, well, the reason all this shit is here is because they're renovating the inside of the apartment, like hence all of this stuff here. All she said, and I just, knowing what they're positing happened in there, she's basically like, oh, well, the last tenant left in a hurry, and the building owner kind of like left it a little bit of a mess in there, so whoever the building owner was thought it would be better just like completely like rip everything out and like completely revamp the whole apartment. So she's basically like, so if you move in, like, you'll get essentially like a brand new apartment because they're replacing everything. And she's like, and the price was like really reasonable, so they were just like super jazzed. Now, so once they get inside, like, Icy is super excited. She's like, this is completely perfect. It's like, it's in our budget and everything is wonderful, like good location and everything. But Bill, interestingly, and again, ironically, considering what happens later on in the episode, he kind of feels like a little bit uneasy, though he said he couldn't really say like why. He said that it just didn't seem like right in there, like it didn't feel right in there. But he thought that it would be stupid to turn down such an awesome place just because, you know, he felt funny and everything like that. So he kind of like pretends to be all enthused, and they move in a week later. Now, Icy actually ends up spending a lot more time alone in the apartment because she's just like in college. So she goes there after class. And, but it seems like Bill is not there much because he's in class and then like at night he works. So he doesn't come home until later on. So he's not in the apartment as much. So Icy is in there like by herself a lot. So she said when she was in there kind of like setting everything out at first, she's like, she started to feel like she wasn't alone. There was somebody else in there. And she said like it felt like really eerie. But, you know, as they usually do at first, they always try to, like, write it off. It's like, oh, you know, I'm stressed out because we've just moved. And it's like, you know, all these finals and blah, blah, blah. So she's like, oh, I'm sure it's just my imagination. So a few days go by and she's kind of trying to not think about it too much. One night.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, the thing went off. Yeah. Anyway. One night. This isn't like super relevant, but Bill says that he's taking Icy out for the night and she's like, oh, we can't really afford a restaurant and blah, blah, blah. But then he ends up like taking her like out in the mountains, like on some kind of picnic or something like that. And I was just kind of like, okay. I kind of feel like this was like a good story, but you could definitely tell that, that there wasn't enough detail in this, like to fill out a whole episode maybe, so they were kind of like filling in some other things. So the morning after they have this little picnic or whatever, they said like for the first time since they moved in, they don't have, I guess it's like a weekend, so they don't have anything like planned or anything like that. Like they don't have any classes or they don't have work or they're all done moving
that was
in.
Just the first alarm.
Oh, the first alarm
now
went
it's
off.
Gotta sit for another half hour. under
that
pressure.
That went off already?
Yeah. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Because there's an alarm down there.
I just wasn't
on the pot. But then there's this alarm, which is it has to sit 30 minutes and then I release the pressure.
Oh, okay, right. That's the thing. It's
right,
like,
yeah. So no, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, I didn't think that much time had gone by.
No. It hadn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's only been like 29 minutes or something like that. That's why I wasn't ready. But yeah. So, let's see. Okay, so they don't really have anything planned for this particular day. So, Bill is up just kind of like sitting at the breakfast table, you know, having coffee, like reading the paper, whatever the fuck. And Icy is still asleep. And Bill is sitting there at the table and sees, like, a shadow, like, what seems like a shadow of a person, like, passing by the window, but, like, outside. And this kind of, like, creeps him out. I'm guessing, like, the way that they had it, because I'm sure, like, the apartment that they showed in the episode is not the actual apartment, but the way they showed it, I guess it wouldn't be that weird if somebody, like, walked right in front of your window like that, but it would be, like, a little bit weird because they're... The way they had it laid out, there wouldn't really be any reason for anybody to walk in front of your window like that because it wasn't like you had to walk by it like to get someplace else. But at any rate, he said that he saw somebody out there and it like creeped him out. But he said it was daytime and so he wasn't really all that concerned about it again. So he just kind of like wrote it off. So a month later, they're finally kind of like settled in. Icy is kind of trying to concentrate on her schoolwork, like I said, finals and blah, blah, blah. But she said she's in the apartment again, like by herself one night, and she's in the bedroom studying. And then she hears stuff in the apartment. Like, it almost sounds like the door closing and then like footsteps. So she thinks that Bill has come home early. So she's like calling out to him. But then, like, there's no answer. And then she said that she looked up and standing in the doorway of the bedroom. There was, like, a guy, like, an apparition, like, standing what? There. What's the matter, Poke? It's just, she doesn't like the fan.
What do you want me to do about it? I can't do anything about it. She's telling me that the fan's on.
Yeah.
I know the fan's
Daddy,
on.
Daddy, the fan's on.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like
She's
it.
She's funny.
But, yeah. Yeah, she really does not like that. Oh, my goodness.
What can you do about it?
She's just informing you.
Yeah.
She's informing you still again that it's, like, yeah. still on. Come here. But she doesn't like it.
Come here. What do you mean, bro? I said, come here.
She's like no, no.
You're going to be on camera.
Yeah. What's the matter, baby? She's like, I don't like the fan. That's what. She's like, okay.
Relax.
She's like, nope.
She's like, no.
No.
Fan's on, huh?
No.
Fan's on? Okay.
Aw. Samantha B said, just popped on. Where is this? This episode takes place in Seattle. That's where this one is. Back in 2004. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Okay. So, yeah. So, she looks up and she said that she saw, like, a dude. She saw, like, a guy, like, standing in the bedroom door. She didn't really specify, like, I'm guessing that she immediately knew that it wasn't, like, a person, like, that she knew it was an apparition, even though she wasn't real clear about that. But the fact that she immediately, like, got up and then went to, like, investigate the apartment, which, I mean, she did pick up a weapon, but you would think that if she thought that that was a real guy, then she would have just, like, fucking screamed and called the cops or something like that. But so she goes, like, creeping through the apartment, like, looking for this dude. But, of course, since he's a ghost, you know, she kind of, like, goes all creepily down the hall and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously he's not there. And I think that she said that she kind of saw him go down the hall and, like, go into the bathroom, which is something that would happen a lot, like, with these apparitions that they were seeing. Now, she did say, because, like I said, she was on the show. Like, both her and Bill were on the show, and, like, a couple of the ghost hunters were on there talking as well. So she said she's very sure that she saw something, but she didn't really believe in ghosts, so she didn't really know, like, what to make of it, even though the implication being that I'm pretty sure that she thought it was a ghost, but then she's like, well, I couldn't have seen that because they don't exist or whatever. So Bill comes home later, like, from work, and Icy is, like, pretty upset, and she tells him, I don't know if she straight up tells him, hey, I saw a guy, or... She basically says, I feel like you know, we're never alone in here, that there's something in here with us. And she's like, whenever I'm here by myself, I keep seeing, like, shadows out of the corner of my eye. And then, like, when I look up, they're gone. You know what I mean? So I don't know if she said, like, hey, I saw a dude. Bill does not believe her at first, thinking she's overreacting, like always happens in these fucking episodes, or is seeing things because of eye strain. This is one of the parts that we were kind of laughing at, because he was kind of like making jokes about it, and she was like, dude, it's not funny. And, you know, Tom says something like, have you just considered, you know, the possibility that you may be a woman?
Yeah.
And that you're
not women are.
And that you're incapable of, like, perceiving reality as it is.
Making shit. It's all imagination.
And she got, like, really, really mad. I'm like, yeah, like, pretty much every woman on Earth would get mad if you, like, fucking talk to them like that.
I was laughing.
It was very funny.
You ever thought that you might be a woman?
Yeah. And how you don't know how things work? Because you know we women. Our eyes don't work. Our ears don't work. Nothing works. No, we don't know how it is. Our brains don't work.
They're fucking crazy.
We don't know how things work ever. Crazy. Like I said, so
I know, man. I've been there, man. And fucked up hormones and shit.
It's not, but see, that's the thing. It's not crazy. That's just like the way it is. But I mean, you know that it's not good. But it's like, so you. It's weird because it's like double layered. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know that it's like that, and it's like it's not good. Yeah. But there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, really. You want to know what a woman feels like? Fuck it, take some Trenbolone.
Tom would not recommend it.
No. let that progesterone fucking level go way high. And
I was like, see, it's not fun, is it?
Mm.
Not fun at all.
Mm. Women are clinically insane. I attest. I've been there. They're fucking crazy. But I see the insanity. I understand it now. I understand it. There is a certain amount of truth to it. It's just, you don't want to perceive things like that all the time. And I don't think they perceive things like that all the time. It has to do with their cycle, pretty sure.
Well, I don't know about that, because it's kind of like...
You think it's constant?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, but, you know, mine is pretty much like that. It's always been like that, like I said, as long as I can remember.
Constant lack of confidence. Constant checking yourself to think that maybe you perceived that the wrong way. Constantly fucking double checking
and it's doubly frustrating too. And it's like shit like I make jokes about this, but shit like this doesn't help. That like every time, that's why it always like makes me laugh, like in all of these kind of like paranormal shows and like movies and stuff, where the woman is always kind of like, hey bro, I saw a ghost, and everybody's like, why are you sure you saw that? Yeah. Maybe you're just tired, maybe you're just like, bitch, I saw a fucking ghost. Yeah. Okay, god damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't you just like believe me? I don't really get it. So that's like very frustrating for us, because it doesn't help, because we already have that inbuilt thing where we're constantly doubting ourselves, and then it's like a horrible like feedback loop, because then you have like dudes telling you, you didn't really see that, or you're crazy or something like that, and I'm like, wait, am I?
Yeah.
Now I don't know, you know what I mean? So it's very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Yeah, I've experienced it. It's not good. Fucking and total lack of confidence. What else is like another? Fucking sentimentality, insecurity, overly sentimental about shit. It's just no, it's not good. It's not good. From a man's point of view, when you have normal male fucking hormonal balance, you're like a tank. You're just like rock solid. Yeah, I don't care. Ah, fuck that bitch. And you just plow through it. Almost with a sense of like, no, I'm never wrong. But there's something about being that way that's very comfortable. You're wrong as fuck, but you don't care. You know?
Well, yeah.
Sometimes. You don't care.
Yeah, and dudes are totally like that. Yeah. They don't think they're ever wrong about anything.
Yeah, well, and
even though they frequently are.
Yeah, you can be wrong as shit. You can be wrong as shit. You might be partially aware that you're wrong, but you don't care. It's kind of like anesthesia. You're numbed to your own dickheadness. Your own stupidity. You don't care.
Yeah, I've noticed.
You're just like bulletproof.
I've noticed.
Which does give you a lot of confidence. You can get through some fucking shit. You can get through some serious shit. All successful military guys are like that, pretty much.
Well, they've done lots of studies with you know, male and female students, and what they find, like, largely is that men like way like over exaggerate their intelligence and their abilities and things like that, whereas women will way under exaggerate. Yeah. Like a lot of times they're like really good at shit, but they're not confident enough to, you know, come out and be good. And a lot of times that like hinders them a little bit. But then in another way, it's like sometimes dudes are like not really all that smart or not really all that capable, but they think that they're awesome and the shit. So sometimes they're like, to an extent, they're able to kind of like bullshit their way through things.
Yeah.
Like eventually you will get caught, but you know.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, it's better to be overconfident than to lack confidence. Your success rate will be a lot higher if you're overconfident. Now, does it make you bulletproof and immune? No. Those dudes get killed. They get killed all the time. But it doesn't matter. Men are kind of disposable in the real world, which is fucking fighting and stealing things and trying to get food and capturing territory and all that fucking caveman shit. You're better off. You were selected to just be kind of dumb. Dumb and fucking overconfident. Because statistically, those guys tended to reproduce. So the children were like that. Guys that sat around, twiddled their thumb, or were overly sensitive, they didn't reproduce. Too beta.
I'm laughing at Ben saying, it's literally true. All women are crazy. Even a woman who you think is perfectly rational and stable, if you engage with them, you will find out they believe in elves or talking trees or portals to other worlds. Don't even get me started on women and angels and magic crystals.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know,
I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Yeah, they're not all like that. But
and actually, I know some dudes that do believe in some of that stuff, so...
Yeah. Well, shit, fucking, I've seen that shit. Jenny's seen things that would fall into that realm, but it's not supernatural. It's quantum consciousness.
I don't have any patience for the it's new age bullshit, though.
Yeah. It's just reality isn't quite as real as you think it is.
Which, like, yeah, that's fair enough. But, like, I'm a very, very scientifically minded person.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a lot to, like, convince me.
Quantum theory explains a lot of it. Just look at Penrose and Stuart Ameroff. There's a lot of new stuff. They did a lot of new stuff on YouTube of them talking about stuff. They made a lot of discoveries. The mind is a quantum computer. You're dealing with quantum fields and quantum physics, which can explain a lot of these things that were formerly believed to be paranormal. They are paranormal, but they're not supernatural. And once you get a scientific framework to explain these phenomena that are going on, they won't even be paranormal. They'll just be scientific. It has to do with quantum particles and clouds that are around you, and your soul is a real thing. It's a quantum field. It's what's making you experience qualia, which is kind of like the sensation of being, things that a digital computer will never be able to do. Soul. And when you die, it could continue on. That would fit quantum physics. There's no reason, because once all those particles are in superposition and entanglement, you could take the physical brain and body away, and that quantum field would still hold itself together and continue on. In other words, a spirit. Freaky shit. But that lines up with everything that I've fucking seen in terms of OBEs, NDEs, poltergeist phenomenon, RSPK, dreaming true, dream invasion, premonitions, and some of the shit that you see in fucking combat, because you're in a state of... With me, it was always fear or fight or flight instincts over a long period of time. Like, Jenny's seen it when we were writing the book. It took me a couple weeks or a month or so to kind of fire up, and eventually kind of an eerie feeling came across the house periodically, and phenomena would happen. But it's not a ghost. It's just a quantum field.
And I didn't find it particularly scary.
Yeah. It was, to me, kind of.
I just thought I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was kind of neat because it's like, I always was kind of like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if that was real and like if I could actually see it? So when I saw it, I was just like, ooh. You know what I mean? That's cool. But it's like, it didn't really scare me. I mean, the only thing that would scare me was that, like I said, if you got mad at me one day and like winged a brick at my head or something like that. But
well, no, you said you felt it watching you, and it made you got scared.
For a second. And you like got, after it first happened, like, and I went out down the hall into the bathroom. Like for a second, I felt kind of like weird and creeped out. But like other than that, like it didn't really.
It's a still feeling of deep, still feeling of eeriness, kind of like you're being watched. And when you said it rang the doorbell twice, I did have that feeling when I got up, that I could feel it in there.
See, now that scared me, but that's because I thought it was a person.
Yeah. No, I kind of knew something was up. Opening the garage door and fucking, because
I was like, I don't want that to be a fucking serial killer, like, standing out there like, hey, you know what I mean?
I wasn't sure.
That's what scared me. Not so much that it was a ghost.
Here, you check. It's your turn. That'd be fucking funny. Tom, go, what was that? Go check it out. I hadn't heard a gun. Go ahead, check it out.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, I didn't tell you you had to check it out. Yeah, I just said some motherfucker just rang the doorbell.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, if it was up to me, I'd have been like, you know what? I'm just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not even going to go look in case somebody fucking shoots me through a glass or some shit like that. Yeah. Because, like I said, I thought it was a person.
No, for me, it takes...
Which I'm absolutely not going to the door.
At my age now...
4 o'clock in the morning.
I haven't tried to do it since HRT, but I kind of think during HRT with my hormone levels, it probably would happen a little faster. But it took, probably about 2 or 3 weeks for it to start.
I don't even remember at this point.
Because we were writing the book. I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks. And it slowly kind of ramped up. Started with the television turning on and off. Finding televisions away. Even the television that was in the room that we were turned on, remember?
Yeah.
It was little stuff like that. And then it got bigger as it went, about over a period of about a month. It's not something you can do spontaneously. It takes time to, at least at my age, it takes time to start firing it up. And the main impetus, the main energy behind it for me is fear. Fear can get it started faster. So if anybody's a student of that shit, it has something to do with fight or flight instincts, I think. Something about negative emotions.
So where were we? All right, so we were talking about Bill being like, yeah, have you considered that you're a woman and you're not, like, seeing things correctly, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Now, Icy even said that she's like, well, Bill was kind of, like, reassuring at first, like, oh, it's going to be okay, yada, yada. So for a little while, she kind of felt silly, even though she did feel like she was overreacting, like, after he said that, even though she was like, I'm pretty sure I saw some shit, but you know what I mean? You know how it goes. And she said that she still didn't feel safe in the apartment at all, especially alone. So basically they're like, she's like, after class, she would just go to, there was like a coffee shop in the neighborhood, and she would just go there and sit in there, like, until the evening, until Bill came home, because she didn't want to be in the apartment by herself because she felt so creeped out by it. So she's at home one night, like, she comes home after her class and all that kind of stuff, and she's really, really, like, irritable and angry. And she said that she had just started to feel like Bill wasn't really, like, listening to her, wasn't really taking her seriously. And she kind of resented that he didn't have to spend that much time in the apartment, so he didn't really know what was going on or, like, experience what she experienced. So that particular night, she, like, kind of let him have it, and they ended up, like having this really, really big fight. And that Bill at this point said, well, Icy had really changed a lot. She used to be, like, really fun and outgoing and blah, blah, blah. But she became, like, really moody and withdrawn. The funny thing about it was, like, they're having the fight, and he's like, I thought we had got past that. And she's kind of like, there's still, like, a fucking ghost in the apartment, and it's still, like, scary, so I don't know. I was like, well, I guess he got past it because he doesn't have to worry about it. But she's the one having to, like, fucking deal with it. But, yeah, so she was mad, so they had, like, a big fight. And they actually didn't talk to each other again until, like, the following evening. They said, like, after this big fight that they had. But Bill shows up. He comes home, and he's got the flowers and the whole thing. And they kind of, like, talk everything out. And, you know, he says, yeah, I was sorry. We kind of laughed, too, because he said, yeah, I was acting like a jerk. And she was like, no, it was me, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I was a jerk. Don't sugarcoat it. And I'm like, oh, well, you don't want me to sugarcoat it, then. Then I'm going to say all kind of terrible shit. But, yeah, so they kind of, like, talked it out or anything. And then it so happens that they're like, well, we're just going to chill out tonight. We're just going to, like, you know, just have some leftovers and watch movies and not do any studying or anything like that. And then Bill sees the ghost, too. Like, they're sitting on the couch, and he looks over and sees the apparition, like, standing there in the hallway. And it moves kind of, like, down the hall toward the bathroom. And he follows it there. But obviously, when he gets into the bathroom, there's nobody in there. So then, like, he says to Icy, I saw somebody. He described, and this was, like, the real guy, he said he described it as a tall, thin, dark figure. And Icy said, yeah, that's the same thing that I saw. And then Bill tries, then, like, literally, like, 5 seconds, like, after he sees the ghost, like, he's just like, oh, it was nothing. Even though he just literally, like, saw a fucking person. Like, it,
yeah.
Like, a ghostly person. Like, it's, oh, it was nothing.
Yeah.
And then she just also said, it's like, that's the same fucking ghost I saw. Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing.
I don't know about that. Because I never even really saw an apparition, but saw a lot of objects move starting off in that damn Mammoth Mountain. And just seeing objects move is a fucking life-changing event. Just to have something thrown out of a fucking...
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he could just, like, immediately... And I don't know if that's how it really happened, but that's, like, what happened in the reenactment. Just that you could actually just kind of go, oh, well, ghosts exist now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, nah.
I kind of find that hard to believe.
I'm not really buying that. Either that or maybe the apparition wasn't impressive. It might have just been like a hazy shadow.
I kind of suspect maybe that's what it was. Because on the show, they actually kind of... Now, on the show, they show it as like a person.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think, at least according to the real people that were on there being interviewed, they did say that they saw the ghost, like what the dude looked like, but not until later. Like, that was the impression that I got. I thought that prior to that, they had just been seeing, like, a shadowy sort of figure. Like, a shadow person. But then, like, later on, they saw him more clearly. But I could be totally wrong about that, but that was kind of the impression that I got. But on the show, they kind of made it look like it was just, like a ghostly-looking person, like, standing there. So it was nothing. We just saw a fucking ghostly-ass person. So this pisses Icy right off, as it would. She's like, oh, it's nothing. Okay. She's like, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I don't know about you. So Bill said, okay, well, I'll come with you, too. So they go and hang out at this coffee shop, like, all the rest of the evening. Now, they start talking to one another, and they're just like, well, maybe we should try and, like, do something about this. Like, they both actually want to move out, but they can't afford it. You know, that happens a lot in these. So they go online, and they find this place, the Washington State Ghost Society. And they get in touch with this woman named Shannon Stidman. Now, I looked her up. She actually has an IMDb page. And this, all it says on the IMDb page says, Shannon Stidman now makes her home in Austin. She is no longer a ghost hunter, but keeps in touch with Icy Spencer. She quit ghost hunting because she lost faith. But she does continue to keep in touch with some of the people she worked with in a ghost ages, that was like a thing she was in, and the Washington State Ghost Society. So that's all it says. It's just like a little, I've never seen an IMDb page like that, but it just had like a little paragraph on it where, I don't know. So just, you know, just, I was looking up all the people on here to see if there was any shit, and that was like the only outside shit I could find. So Shannon pretty much advises them, as she said that she did to all of the people that contacted her. She's like, just basically keep a log of everything that happens, and just if anything starts getting worse or escalating, like, just keep checking in with us and telling us when new shit happens. And then, like, if it starts getting bad, then we'll come there and, like, see if it warrants an investigation or whatever. She said because she wanted to make sure that, you know, she's like, because we get messages all the time from people, and then, like, later on they find out it wasn't supernatural or nothing else happened or something like that. So she's like, we can't just go investigate everything. So they have to, like, make sure that there's actually something there worth investigating. So after they contacted her, though, they said the month after that was, like, much quieter. They said for a while, they said they didn't really feel the presence in the apartment at all, like, the way they did before. I'm not really sure, like, what the explanation for that was. They didn't really seem to have an idea. But then there's, like, one night when they're kind of sitting on the living room floor, like, playing cards or whatever, and then Icy sees the ghost again, like, the dude in the hallway, and then Bill also turns around and sees it. So they both see it at the same time. Now, Icy, like, flips out, and she, like, shouts at it to leave, like, this is our house, like, get out of here. It goes into the bathroom again, and then Bill goes in after it. Now, he doesn't see anything at first. But then, like, he's looking in the mirror, and he sees the ghost, like, standing in the tub, like, but in the mirror. Like, when he turns around and looks at the actual tub, like, he doesn't see it. So at this point, he said he did see its face. Like, he saw what it looked like. And he said it looked like a young man, like a boy, like a teenage kid. He said he looked about 17. And he said that his face looked what he called severely damaged. Like, his face was kind of, on the show, it was just kind of, like, bloody, like, on the side of his face. But he said he was just back there, like, begging not to be killed. Like, don't kill me, like that. So, but he just, like, saw him in the mirror. Now, Bill said that he got the idea, like, the feeling that this ghost wasn't evil and was just, like, trying to tell them something or, like, ask them for help. But Icy is, like, not having it. She's like, well, it's still creepy, and I still don't want it in the house. Like, I don't care if it's fucking friendly or not. So, yeah. So she said at this point she was feeling, like, really desperate and trapped. She really wanted to move, and they couldn't. And, you know, she's, like I said, trying not to spend, like, as very much time in this apartment because it was, like, freaking her out. So one night she's home alone studying, and she hears, and I guess Bill is not home, but she's kind of like, she hears a door open in the apartment. At least that's what it sounded like. So she thinks Bill came home without her knowing, and she calls to him, but there isn't any answer. So then after a minute, though, like, she's reading, and like a shadow falls over her book. And then she turns and she sees another apparition. Now, this one doesn't look like the dude from before. This one looks like a big, intimidating shadow person rather than the teenager that they had been seeing. At this point, like, Icy nopes the fuck out. And she, like, runs over to pound on the door, like, the manager next door. And then, like, the manager, like, opens up and then starts laughing maniacally. And then, psych, the whole thing was a dream. So, you know what I mean? And then, like, to justify it, I love that they had, like, a little snippet of interview with the real Icy where she says, I was living in a nightmare. And I'm like, okay. But so I don't know if she actually really saw that, because they made it seem like she really did see that, but then they showed that it was just a dream. Yeah, Icy also said that the apartment felt like a huge crypt, which I thought was an interesting thing to say. So it's been 2 months since they moved in, so it's December, and Icy has kind of, like, fallen apart. They said she wasn't really taking care of herself, she's not really speaking to her friends anymore, she's failing, like, a bunch of her classes. She said she felt like she was under a spell, like she was turning into someone else, and had also was very, very depressed and had actually, like, considered self-harm, things of that nature. So that night, Icy gets home late because she's been trying not to hang out in the apartment, and Bill freaks out because he was, like, worried about her. He didn't know where she was. And then they both see, like, a really scary ghost dude. This looks like a dude, but it's clearly not the same dude. He basically looks like a dude from, like, fucking Goodfellas or something like that, but, like, not as well-dressed. He looks like a, you know what I mean? He looks like Chaz Palminteri or something like that. He looks like somebody like that. Like a big thug. So he walks down the hall and they both follow them. But then the ghost does this gesture thing. Like, he goes to the end of the hall and then turns around. Like, hey, you Goombas. Like, that kind of thing. And then he goes kind of like that or something. I couldn't tell what he was doing. Like, it looked like he was going, hey, look at sort of. But then, like, there's like a white light, like a white stick type situation. And then Bill said, they showed him, like, pulling his shirt up because he was like, oh, my chest. And then, like, he pulls his shirt up and there's, like a wound there, like, right between his little man, little moobs there.
What, man boobs?
He didn't have moobs because he was very skinny.
Okay.
But
it's time. I'm going to go.
You're going to turn the thing off?
Yeah.
Okay. The other alarm has gone off. Yeah, so... Basically, so I think they made it look, like, more dramatic for the show, because, like I said, it looked like somebody had, like, kind of sliced, like, he'd had, like, open heart surgery or some shit like that. But all he said was that it felt like someone had put out a lit cigarette, like, on his chest, which is painful, sure, but I don't think it's, like, like having your chest sliced open like they showed on the thing, but whatever. So, at this point, the couple are both like, fuck this shit, and they get the fuck out, and they go and stay in a motel. And then they contact the ghost hunters again and were like, yeah, you guys need to get here because, like, shit's getting, like, really, really bad. Now we saw another ghost, and this ghost is, it's, like, kicking our ass. So Shannon, like, the ghost hunter lady, she comes to the motel to meet with them, and she's like, yeah, it definitely seems like your situation might be becoming dangerous at this point because, like, this other ghost, like, actually, you know, hurt you. And said, okay, well, we're going to come and, like, intervene and see what we can do about it. So she basically says, and this is something they say on a lot of the episodes, that probably the ghost was stirred up by all the renovations they did, because remember I said they renovated the whole apartment, like, before they moved in. She also thought that maybe the spirits were feeding off the couple's fear and the conflicts they were having with one another over, you know, over, like, being in this bad situation and, like, fighting all the time about how, like, you know, Icy didn't want to be there and stuff like that. So the ghost hunting team say they're going to go check out the apartment. Now, at first, Icy is like, absolutely not. I am not going back there. But Shannon is like, well, you have to be there in case the investigators have, have to ask you some shit. So Icy said, well, okay, I'll go, but I'm not going inside. I'm, like, going to stand my ass out in the parking lot. So that's how that's going to go. So a few hours later, the ghost hunting team shows up. And with them, they have a medium named Lois Lee, the real person of which was also on the show. Now, reportedly, as they're supposed to do, they supposedly did not tell this medium psychic lady anything about what had been going on prior, like anything about any of the apparitions that any of you had seen or anything like that. And they also told Bill and Icy, don't talk to her until after she goes in there and checks everything out so we can make sure that you're not, like, tainting her data or whatever. So Lois goes in there and starts doing her thing where she's kind of like feeling around the walls and objects and stuff. And she said an interesting thing. She said when she first went in there, she said that she didn't feel anything at all initially. She said that normally when she goes in a place that's supposedly haunted, like she can feel it immediately, you know, that there's something in there, like a presence. But she said she didn't feel anything like in this place, not at all. But then she goes into the bathroom and apparently sees or has a vision of the young man in the bathtub who's like crying, don't kill me, don't kill me. And she said that she felt like really sorry for him. And she initially says, hey, I'm not gonna hurt you. But then she said it felt like she was like taking the place of another person, or that there was like another person, I don't know, like necessarily possessing her or anything like that, but she was like in the position of someone else who was looking at this, like, and threatening and menacing this kid. And so she finds herself like approaching the young man with her hand raised, and she said she could feel a gun in her hand. She also said that she had like a really, really gory vision. It seemed like she said just like blood splattered everywhere and stuff, like all over the room, like in the vision. And she smelled something really, really horrible. And then she said, like, the next thing she knew, she was running out of the apartment, and then she just, like, puked all over the parking lot. And she said that she had never felt anything like that before, and that this was, like, bad news. This was, like, a really bad situation. So her hypothesis, and we'll get into this, is that this was some kind of, this was the impression that she got, that this was some kind of drug or gang-related retribution killing. Now, although this neighborhood apparently used to be known for that sort of thing, I guess it's kind of like not like that anymore. Now, evidently, I'm assuming if they found a case that corresponded with, you know, what the people were seeing in the apartment, then they absolutely would have trumpeted that like on the show. So the fact that they didn't find that, or they didn't say that, like leads me to believe that there wasn't a crime that had occurred like that. In that, I mean, but it might have occurred somewhere else in the building or somewhere else in the neighborhood. I think that's what Danny was saying earlier about, you know, why is this kid haunting this place if, like, he didn't even get killed there? And, yeah, that seems to be the thing, because nobody seems to think that this actually happened there, because I think they were trying to imply that it happened there, like, with all the stuff that they said at the beginning about, like, the apartment manager saying, oh, well, the last tenant left in a hurry and left it, like, kind of a mess. You know, which would imply, oh, left in a hurry, like, got killed, and, you know, somebody got murdered in there, so there was, like, blood and brain matter all over the walls that they had to clean up, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like that's what they were getting at, but there, as far as I know, there isn't any proof that anything like that happened, at least in that particular apartment. I don't know about, and honestly, I couldn't find the address of this. Like, I didn't have a huge amount of time to, like, to look for it, but sometimes, like, on some of the episodes, it's pretty easy, like, to find at least the street that the real house is on, but this one I couldn't really find anything about it. So I don't know. Like I said, if they had found anything corresponding to what they were seeing in the apartment, I'm sure they would have said on the show, and they didn't, so I'm assuming that nothing like that happened
there. In defense of the case, I don't think to see an apparition or to make contact with a disembodied soul, I don't think you have to actually be in the location where the person killed. One just has to contact you.
Yeah.
You have to come into its awareness, and it might contact. I mean, that might have been somebody killed in that area, but maybe not in that house. Or maybe Icy's seeing this guy, and he may have had some kind of connection to her family or something in a weird way, and she didn't quite know the connection. It may have been something like that. It didn't have to happen in that apartment, really. This is a psychic phenomenon. Your soul is coming in contact with a disembodied soul, and it's trying to pass you a message You might see it or believe you see it with your eyes, but you may not be seeing it with your eyes. You may be seeing it with your mind and soul. Like, you know, if you were to take a picture, like there he is, and you were to take a picture, there'd probably be nothing in that picture. So I'm not going to say it's a hallucination, but it's a hallucinatory type thing. But it doesn't mean that soul isn't contacting you, you know. It might be strong enough to where you could actually see it, but it's probably not there. It's in another dimension.
Interestingly, though, it does kind of seem like this is one. It's like I said, I don't know if I believe any of this kind of stuff or anything like that, but this does seem more like a residual.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like they always saw, when they saw this apparition, or at least in the reenactments, it seemed like it was always going in the bathroom, and like people saw it like in the tub, like, don't kill me, like at the moment of the trauma or the moment of the death or whatever. So it almost seemed like something that was like replaying rather than somebody that was trying to like communicate from beyond the veil or whatever.
Yeah, seeing the past.
So maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was just kind of like, maybe something bad did happen. Well, like I said, it was an apartment building, so maybe it was like somewhere else in the building. Who fucking knows?
And like I said, related to somebody who lived in the building.
Right. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Like I said, it's all hypothetical. It's all hypothetical
shit, and it could, you know, it's like Mr. Halloran says, you know, it's just like burned toast. Sometimes, you know, something bad happens and it leaves something behind. But you're dealing with another dimension. It might have left something behind in a distant location, but you're already outside. You're already in another dimension, so that just because it happened far away doesn't mean you can't access it, or it can't access you. It's just, you'd have to see it. It's the spirit world. The spirit world could get you, reach out and touch you no matter where you are. You might just be receptive to it, so you're kind of chosen, or you accessed it. It doesn't necessarily mean it was in that physical location.
Right.
You know.
It's just that sometimes I kind of feel like they're trying to make it seem like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, some of the episodes, they'll be like, oh, we saw, like, this old lady ghost, and then we found out, oh, that this bitch old lady used to live here, and she was an axe murderer, or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Look, they always want to tie shit to a location, because that's a very human thing to do. It must be here. But you're not, the spirit world doesn't work that way. You're seeing something across time. Well, shit, if you can see something across time, space is nothing. So not only are you seeing something across time, you're seeing something across space. Space-time isn't that relevant with this, you know. For some reason, you dialed up a number and saw something that happened somewhere else a long time ago. Didn't have anything to do with where you were.
And maybe it's a complete anomaly, because like you said, sometimes it happens, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know where this particular apartment is, so I don't really know, because after all this, I think they only lived in the apartment for a couple of months, and then they said, fuck this shit, and they got out, because like the ghost hunting team were like, well, we would advise you like not to stay here, because it seems like it's escalating, and it might actually get dangerous, because it looks like it can actually hurt you, so they moved.
Yeah. Not to say that all of them aren't location-based. I think some of the stories that are told and what they're saying, it may have been something based in that location. But you're limiting yourself if you think it's always location-based. It's like radio or television. You could see that fucking movie no matter where you were. You just turn the TV on.
Yeah, tune it in.
You tuned it in, right. You're now seeing something that happened a long time ago to somebody else in another place. But you called it. You dialed that phone number. You put it on that channel. You saw it.
Well, maybe you accidentally did that.
Yeah, just accidentally,
like,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It could just be, like, random.
Exactly, it's like random.
Which might explain, like I said, why sometimes, like, people see shit in a house and then they move out and other people move in and nobody sees anything in there again. Because maybe it has to do with, like, the person, like, the receiver.
Right.
You know?
It's psychic phenomena. It's like telepathy, you know? You've created a psychic link with something that was around a long time ago in another place. And somehow you got linked to it and you saw it. So, I'm not real impressed by location-based stuff, because poltergeist phenomena didn't care anything about location. Wherever you were, that's where it was. You know, Mammoth, Lois's house, my house, or it's actually my mom's house or her apartment in those days. And then anywhere where I fucking start firing it up, it'll take time, it'll happen. So, location has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
and so, who knows, you might be able to bring something through. Something you don't want. I always worried about that, you know what I mean? Or you might manifest something or create something you can't control, you know. That was really like, you know, Jenny sees some weird shit, you know, the fucking pile of coins appearing at my feet and everything. All my hair was standing up. I could feel it standing up on the back of my neck after that remote got thrown. And I felt like I was going to lose control of it, you know. Because once fear starts going, it gets bigger. Well, what's going to happen, man? You know, are you going to invent some kind of monster and it manifests itself, you know, a psychic monster or something? You know, it's invisible, but it just throws things, it breaks things, you know. And it might slip out of your control, kind of like a character in one of your dreams. Or what if something evil sees that in another dimension and goes, oh, I know how to use this, and then hijacks it?
It's like, ooh, I'm going to go.
Yeah,
like,
energy source. Right. Mm-hmm. This is an energy source, and I'm going to use this guy. And then you might actually bring in a fucking dead person that was bad, or something kind of like a demon, something that has never lived, just some kind of a creature that lives in the astral plane, if that's what you want to call it, or lives in that other dimension, and it's like something from that movie, From Beyond, you know? Remember the little fish things that are flying? You don't know. You don't know. Because it's... I had that out-of-body experience, and there's a lot of stuff over there. It's mostly peaceful, though. Mostly empty space. But I was aware of kind of like a cosmic consciousness that there's a lot of stuff out there. There are things that were never human out there. But they're not necessarily bad. A lot of the bad stuff was, from my understanding or what it felt like, is that a lot of the bad stuff was weak. It wasn't strong enough to do very much.
Danny says the Possessed Mom Driving episode was a good one. Yeah, that was actually one of the ones we were considering doing because we watched it like a couple weeks ago, but we'll probably get around to that one. Yeah, that scene where she was driving the kid and like staring at the kid while she was then driving ahead, that was like one of the creepiest things that was ever on. Just her expression like was so fucking creepy. Danny also said in the episode with the female cop ghost hunter who got her son possessed episode was good. Yeah, I think that one's just called The Ghost Hunter, right? That was another one that we should probably do one of these days. But yeah, I mean, that was like pretty much the end of the story. Like I said, the Spencers like got moved the fuck out of the apartment and moved to another place, like also in Seattle. And they said it was like much, much nicer. And I don't know what happened to them again after that. So that was like pretty much it, you know?
Yeah, it's a decent story.
It was, yeah. And like I said, it was a lot more like apparition heavy than some of the other ones. But I don't know. There was something about it that I kind of liked.
Something may have happened there. I don't know. But, you know, don't know exactly what it was. But something could have happened there. I'm not going to just dismiss it out of hand.
I think what I thought was funny about it was, like, all the arguments that they had about, like, her. Yeah. I was like, I don't know why that made me laugh so much. Because it just seems like it's such a trope.
He accused her being a woman.
It's such a trope, like, in so many of these that... It's almost kind of like a thing where, you know, because the girl always sees it first.
Yeah.
Almost always. Like, I like when they do exceptions to it, too, because there are some exceptions, but even when he saw it, he was still trying to, like, dismiss it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think the guys see it, too, but I think they don't admit to themselves that they saw it. Because the first thing that I saw was my little handbag turned on its side, and I could have swore that I saw all those socks rolling across the bed, and it just come to a screeching halt, and I went, no, that didn't happen. I immediately went into denial.
Nope.
No. It just fell over. That's what I was thinking. But no, it was going through my bag.
Well, I think, and we've kind of touched on this before, and actually one real guy that was like interviewed on a haunting that had one of these experiences, like almost said this word for word, is that I think guys have a harder time because they don't, like, they, like, dudes in general, they kind of want to, like, fix something.
Yeah.
And this is something that you can't really fix. You can't really do anything about
it. You can't grab it. You can't fight it.
You can't punch it.
You can't.
And, like, one guy even said that. You can't punch it. Like, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. Like, and they feel kind of, like, helpless because it's like, well, you know, I want to, like, you know, protect my wife and kids or, you know, fix the problem, and I can't fix the problem because it's, like, too amorphous, and I think that really bothers them. So a lot of times they're just kind of like, nope, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So they just go into denial mode.
You could have an M16, you couldn't shoot it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't...
Yeah, like...
There's no solution.
Yeah, my boy here from fucking haunting in Daytona.
Deltona.
He said the same thing as an ex-Army Ranger. He says he just... He would try to fight it, and it would get worse. But there's nothing you can do. You can't grab it. You can't beat on it. You can't shoot it. You can't hide from it. It can be watching you. You can feel it watching you. You don't see it, but you can feel it. You know it's in there, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
You know.
And maybe that's harder. I kind of feel like that's, at least the dudes that have been on the show, like, talking about it, it does seem, like, harder for them to deal with.
Yeah.
That they can't, like...
Yeah, I was a kid when it was going on, so it was easier for me to just fucking relent and go, yeah, yeah, this is
that's bad.
Fucked up. This is bad.
Well, yeah, because you didn't have any, like, you didn't feel like you had any responsibility to, like, fix it or, like, do something about it.
I had
adults
around me to try to protect me, you know?
Yeah.
I was just going, oh, yeah, this is bad. This is like something out of a fucking horror movie, you know, and it's real. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So all this stuff, I saw the apparition, but it's okay. Nah, that's not my experience.
Like I said, I don't really know. I mean, I could believe it because the real guy was on there being interviewed, and
been impressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It either wasn't that impressive, or the dude was like so far in denial that he was just kind of like, I didn't see it. Like, he was just trying to make himself feel better.
Now, when you see it for real, first thing I saw is poltergeist, and it becomes undeniable. It's life changing. You go into shock. You're like, no, this can't be. You go into denial and shit. My Uncle Reb is in denial. He was trying to pull the fucking carpet up. He thought there must have been some kind of a hidden fucking doors in the floors and somebody coming up, you know, but the things you're seeing just couldn't be done by a physical person, you know. So you just have to go, no, this is something invisible. This is must be a ghost. Because that's the only explanation. It must be a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it was, though. I thought it was at the time, but looking back, I don't think it was.
But like I said, it was like, right. You know, people didn't know as much about poltergeist back then. Or at least it hadn't been, like, disseminated, like, widely. Now everybody knows, but...
Yeah, you couldn't find the information back then.
Now everybody knows.
Yeah.
All right, so you ready to wrap it up? Seems like you're going to
go down there and get
that carnitas rolling.
You want a taco?
Sure.
Okay.
Maybe a couple.
Two or three. Two or three of them? Okay.
Because that'd be really good.
All right. Good. I'm going to go brown that meat.
Let me go brown that meat. All right. Thanks, you guys, for dropping by on this Haunting Mondays. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Tomorrow, we are going to be back same time, and we're going to do a matinee, and we're going to be talking about Platoon, which was the other movie that Louis sent us. So we're going to watch that tonight, and we will do a discussion on that tomorrow on a live stream. So hopefully you guys can come for that. So thanks for hanging out with us this evening, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Good.